Today is January 13th, 2016, and this is episode number 341 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I'm kind of still a vagabond.
You are.
Have I been a vagabond in the past? Have I already used that one? Because I know I retreaded some of these things, man. Not intentionally.
I don't know if you've been a vagabond for your business card. Maybe you have, but you've definitely been a vagabond before.
To get the full story on anything we cover this podcast, in this podcast even, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com. I gotta warn everybody right off the top, I got a cold again. So, yeah. You know, you're getting a little bit of punchy cold, Brian.
Yeah, I feel bad for you because we were all just kind of dragging and our voices were dying at CES last week. Mm-hmm. And I got back from CES and my voice rebounded right away and you started your epic road trip. And
this isn't an epic. I went back home to a different town for a week. It's not really an epic road trip.
I'm really trying to build you up.
I know. August, I had an epic road trip.
Yeah, you did.
That was a pretty epic. But this is just, you know, I drove 9 hours in sort of the same direction instead of 8.5 hours in sort of the same direction. And I'm, you know, visiting with a friend for a week.
Sometimes, Brian, you make it really hard for me to show everyone how cool you are.
I right. Okay. Well, all right. I'm on location this week.
There we go. Brian's on location this week.
Punchy with a cold. So the really cool thing is that I brought the Vegas plague to my friend's house, and he and his wife have a toddler. So uh-huh. You know, that's really cool of me.
That was really white of you.
It's so good to see you. Oh, sorry. I've got a bit of a cold.
And the last one was real.
I know.
The last one was real because I was faking it.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
When I get a cold, maybe I become a little bit of a you know, of someone of Jewish ancestry who lives maybe in the Northeast a little bit.
Just maybe. There's no graceful way to say it. Brian, I want to get you in drag and have you be my Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'd rather like start wearing a bow tie and
become a movie producer.
You would be fantastic. We need to get you a casting couch.
You're right.
Yeah, there's okay. Something special you got to do for this pot, sweetie.
This just took a really dark turn, Jeff, and you took us there. It was goofy before.
And I just, well, it depends. I mean,
so anyway, the world of Apple this week.
Oh, right. Good save.
In the world of Apple this week, we have a rumor that Apple may be interested in Time Warner.
Right. So,
can you fill us in?
Sure. So the deal is there's a lot of pressure on Time Warner to make some money happen, and
the pressure is coming from activist shareholders who basically feel like they could make more money if Time Warner made some structural changes to the corporation.
Right. And so what they are pushing for is to see a sale, and there are two paths this could take, and one is they sell off assets, like they sell off HBO and CNN, things like that. And the other path would be sell off Time Warner Entertainment as a whole. And the more logical choice seems to be, if they're going to do that, sell off the company as a whole so that it maintains its overall value. Excuse me. And that seems to be what Apple is interested in. So Eddie Q is said to be watching what's happening with Time Warner very closely because Apple would be very interested in buying up Time Warner should it go up on the auction block. And the reason behind that would be so that Apple would have its own foundation for starting up its own streaming television service to compete with like DirecTV and Comcast.
Right. Right. Or put another way, one of the impediments to Apple having a streaming TV service has been cable companies resisting it. And really, the studios and networks have also been resisting it. So Apple, by actually buying a cable TV company, could in theory leverage that to start its streaming service anyway.
Sure. Yes. And they would have CNN and HBO and Warner Brothers and what is it, Turner Broadcast?
Yeah, a whole bunch of properties. That is if they actually bought that aspect of the company as well.
Well, if they were buying Turner Entertainment as a whole, they would be getting all of that, or excuse me, Time Warner Entertainment as a whole.
Okay, all right, fair enough. But that doesn't necessarily mean they would keep it. As a matter of fact, it's even possible that the FTC could require Apple to spin some of it off. I don't think they would.
I don't think they would either.
But it's conceivable.
Sure. When AT&T bought DirecTV, they didn't have to spin anything off from DirecTV, did they? I don't recall.
No, but DirecTV was in a different business and had substantially fewer tentacles content. In particular, Time Warner owns both the cable business and a bunch of content. So it's not really an apples and oranges comparison. Now, did Comcast have to spin some of NBC off? I don't really think they did. You would think that if the FTC was going to allow Comcast to buy NBC, which I think was dreadful mismanagement by regulators, you would think that Apple would be able to buy all of Time Warner.
You would think. But it's weird what is and isn't allowed, or just the way each case comes up. Because, yeah, Comcast was able to buy NBC, but in a different market, Staples was not allowed to buy Office Depot.
Right. Well, right.
Yeah. Which is weird. Here's this dead company that no one is using anymore. But no, you can't buy it.
Right.
I know that's not apples to apples comparison. My point is
really not.
It's just weird what does get approved and what does not when it comes to company buyouts.
Right. And there are different regulators involved. And in some cases, even when it's the same regulatory agency, there are different players involved because the regulators, especially the ones who are politically appointed, change over time.
That's a good point.
And they tend to change with the direction tends to change with the with each administration, in part because of the people that are appointed. So, it'll be interesting. My guess, though, is that Apple would be allowed to buy Time Warner if it so chose, and that would include the question is how would all right? So let's actually look at Apple.
Okay,
Apple's usual modus operandi is to buy small companies and incorporate their technology and people into projects that they're working on.
I have to stop you for just a second. I want to compliment you, Brian, on your completely appropriate use of modus operandi. Well done, sir.
Does someone misuse it?
It gets misused by people all the time and by people who – and there's a lot of people that don't even know that there is such a term as modus operandi. I'm just letting you know that I appreciate your ability to use terms like that correctly.
Have you just met me? I am mostly pedantic.
You are mostly pedantic, but it does not preclude my option to be able to compliment you when I see something
that's complimentable. Shucks. So, anyhow. Thank you kindly. That was very nice of you to say. So, right, that usual thing that Apple does is to buy small companies and incorporate their technology and or people into projects that Apple is working on. Mm-hmm. Apple seldom buys whole companies or buys its way into markets. The big exception to that would be Beats headphones. But mm-hmm. I will posit that Apple did not buy Beats headphones for the headphones, but bought Beats electronics, I should say, for Beats Radio and for the people, especially Jimmy Iovine.
Mr. Mostly Pedantic, Beats Music. Yes. Because it wasn't Beats Radio until it became part of Apple Music.
Oops. Sorry about that. So bought Beats Electronics so that they could get Beats Music, and that included Jimmy Iovine, Dr. Dre, and to a lesser extent, Trent Reznor, mm-hmm. as well as the various things they had cooking with the streaming music side of things. To get those things, they had to buy the headphone business. And what did Apple then do? Apple actually kept that operating as a separate company.
Right.
So when confronted with a change in the way they have to do things, they did not incorporate the new market that they were buying into Apple. Instead, they kept it separate. Right. So how would Apple incorporate a company like Time Warner? We're talking about a pretty large company. The media assets alone are enormous. The cable operations are enormous. And we're talking about a lot of employees. We're talking about a lot of management. We're talking about a lot of middle management. And we're not talking about things that can really be incorporated into the Apple way of things.
Well, and I believe we're also talking here, and this might be a very fine distinction or pretty big, depending on your perspective. I believe we're talking about just Time Warner Entertainment and not Time Warner Cable.
Oh.
So they wouldn't be buying up the cable, internet, broadband, all of that stuff. It would just be the entertainment side.
Well, I came into this conversation with entirely the wrong premise.
Oh, well, then hold on. I'm rewinding. There you go, Brian.
Thank you.
I don't think my rewind button is as good as yours.
Mine is pretty good. Which is a very polite way of saying, no, it's not. Cold, I'm punchy. I'm only this rude because I'm punchy, Jeff.
And I know you, and so that's why I can laugh at at you being an ass, and I'm okay with it.
Okay, fair.
How was that for passive aggressive?
It's just pretty.
No, that was just pretty aggressive.
But it was deserved. Anywho, golly, well, this sort of like changes my. I was thinking that the thing Apple would be buying would be the cable operations. All right, so if Apple bought Time Warner Entertainment by itself, it would have enough properties to kickstart its streaming services. That's actually true. Mm-hmm. It would indeed. Fortunately, that doesn't... golly, I really thought they'd be buying the cable business. Interesting. They'd be buying a lot of content.
They'd be buying a lot of content. I mean, if you look at just the Warner Brothers side alone, there's a lot of TV shows, a lot of movies.
Yeah, there's a huge... a massive library of movies.
Right.
A catalog, a back catalog.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you call it. A massive, huge, enormous back catalog of stuff. Of course, the back catalog won't a streaming service make, but interesting. Golly. I'm so glad that once again we have done all of our proper research ahead of time before we started recording the show for our listeners.
Top men.
Top. Okay, well, that would be an interesting thing for Apple to do. You know, it's funny, we've long talked about the idea of Apple buying Disney.
Yes. Can you imagine Apple owning Star Wars? Because if they bought Disney, they'd own Star Wars.
They would. I don't really think that would matter. I mean, you know, Apple's...
See, now I'm picturing Johnny Ive walking around the set saying, no, this Falcon thing is too cluttered. We need to clean it up. Streamline.
Yeah, Apple's expertise is not in making content. So none of that stuff would actually change. It's really what Apple could do with it. But the whole incorporating, so that actually speaks directly to when you corrected me. I was talking about Apple's ability to incorporate Time Warner into its operations. It would have to, it would actually make the most sense for Apple to keep it operating as a separate company doing Apple's bidding in terms of licensing and not messing around with the content creation side. I mean, the last thing that HBO, for instance, needs is Apple's executives telling them what shows to make or not make.
I agree completely. Yeah, that's not something Apple should be doing.
No, and I can't imagine that they want to do that either.
No, what they want is to have this fire hose of content that they can just plug right into Apple TV.
Yes. But I think it would be, I can't imagine it would be a good idea if Apple made it Apple exclusive.
I would be shocked if Apple did that. And, you know, especially because there's all of these multi-year deals that companies like Comcast and DirecTV have with HBO and just for all this content. They can't just cut that off.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could actually. Okay. More than likely, most of those contracts will have in them clauses that allow someone to pull the plug in case of an ownership change.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
More than likely. I don't know. I haven't looked at the specific contracts by any stretch of the imagination, and nor to be able to make heads or tails of them if I did. But
you know, top men.
Yeah, that's fairly customary in the corporate world to have clauses along those lines. Actually, let's sort of dovetail into I know that you talked about this in Wednesday's Daily Observations with Kelly and John, and I think it was Kelly that made the suggestion that Apple should just make an investment.
Yes.
Nah. Apple should go ahead and own it.
Okay. So since you're saying that, I'm curious what your argument for Apple buying as opposed to investing would be.
Well, the biggest thing is that if Apple is an investor, it's one of many investors. So Apple's got Apple still can't have Time Warner do what it wants it to do. If Apple owns it, which Apple can do, Apple can keep it as a wholly owned subsidiary, just like Beats headphones, right?
Right.
And Time Warner would, in fact, have to do precisely what Apple wants it to do. Now, that's the Apple way of things.
Okay. I can totally accept that logic. That makes sense to me.
And making an investment, unless it's a controlling investment, does not necessarily entitle Apple to do whatever it wants. And if it's going to make a controlling investment, it might as well just buy the company. Take it off the market, make it unpublic.
All right. Yep. I like this argument.
Now, to be fair, they don't have to make it unpublic. They could actually keep it as a wholly owned subsidiary that's still publicly traded. That could happen too. But I think it would make the most sense for Apple to just buy it up, make it part of Apple Incorporated, but have it run as a wholly owned subsidiary.
And for the record, my feeling is if Apple does get into a deal like this, they should just buy Time Warner outright and call it good.
Yeah. I sure would like to see Apple buy Time Warner Cable. I think that's why I was so blind to what the story really was. It's because I want for Apple to buy Time Warner because I would love to buy an internet service through Apple. I would, because it would keep me from having to buy an internet service through Google once Google offers Google Fiber wherever I am.
Yeah. I'm taking us down a rat hole, the Google Fiber rat hole.
Yeah.
So I have Comcast where I am. Mm-hmm. And my guess is, because I'm in Boulder, that I will have Google Fiber before a lot of other people do, because Google's building a really big facility here. like really big.
Right. And you think that they would want to put fiber there just so their own people can use it?
And
because they don't need to offer a public service for that to happen.
Right. They don't.
They can just, you know, buy a splice into to some backbone somewhere.
Right. Which, of course, they will have. But the thing is, they've already very quietly put fiber in to parts of Boulder.
Ah.
And I think part of what their plan is, because there was some resistance to Google coming in, which is just weird, and that's just a whole nother rover right there.
That's the Boulder way, though.
Totally. But, you know, it sure would be a really nice public service sort of move for Google to come in. They open up their big new facility and say, and now you can start getting Google Fiber right here in Boulder before anywhere else in Colorado.
And rents can go even higher.
Yay!
Oh, crap. But my point is, once that happens, even knowing that Google is going to mine all my data that's running through my Google Fiber connection, I am probably going to drop Comcast like a hot thing that's hurting my hand.
I would, in a heartbeat. I'd be willing to. I hate it too. Willing to trade my I would be willing to trade the illusion of internet privacy that I have. For Google further making me more the product when it comes to their fiber service. Just like I am with their search service. They make the best search service. I'm willing to trade my privacy when I'm doing Google searches. Because the service is so good. Same thing would be the same thing for fiber. I buy it. Heartbeat. Boop, boop, bot.
Yep, me too.
Bot. Boop, boop. Cha-ching.
And if you're a Time Lord, it's a bloom, 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 bloom.
But I'm not.
No.
Or we'd be having a different conversation.
We would be having a very different conversation, and it wouldn't be happening here.
All right. I think that we have thoroughly made a mockery of this particular conversation, so let's move on.
Go us.
Yeah. EU. There was a story this week coming from the Telegraph.
Oh, I thought you were grossed out by something.
Not the other EU.
Brian, the great thing about you having a cold like this and your cognitive functions are there, but they are hampered.
They're slow.
By your cold.
They're slow.
I can do stupid jokes like that,
and
more
I would
so than usual.
And I will giggle.
Yes.
See here. What is the story? The story is that the Telegraph reported that Apple had agreed to make a migration tool that would help people move from iOS to Android. More specifically, we're talking about personal information. We're talking about, you know, contacts, maybe texts, although there is a tool out there already for doing texts, moving text off your phone. Photos, music.
Contacts, email settings, all that kind of stuff.
All that kind of stuff, right? And Apple has something like that, has an Android app for moving from Android to iOS, but Apple does not provide an easy way for users to move from iOS to Android.
So does Samsung offer a utility to move from their Galaxy phones to an iPhone?
I don't think so. And I don't
think so either.
I don't think Google does either.
Nope.
Well, supposedly Apple has agreed to make such a tool. Actually, the way, how did they put it? A simple tool for users to be able to do this. And behind the story was supposedly, according to the Telegraph, was pressure from the European Commission, which is the regulatory body for the European Union, right? So the EC. The EC had been pressuring Apple to do this because carriers are whining about the fact that iOS users don't switch. And they say that that gives Apple the upper hand in negotiations. Actually, let's get a quote going here because I'm all like fuzzy-headed.
So it's not fair that Samsung doesn't make phones that are as good as Apple's.
Or that Google doesn't make an operating system that is as good as Apple's. This is more about iOS versus Android, not Apple versus Samsung on the hardware front.
Right. I'm just picking on Samsung because I can.
So they say that the carriers are saying that it quote unquote weakens their hand. That's a quote actually from the Telegraph, not from a carrier. And then the Telegraph reporter also wrote that the iPhone's quote popularity among more affluent consumers means operators are dependent on supplies for most of the profits, i.e., carriers have to dance to whatever tune Apple sets. And when carriers want something, Apple is able to say no. And when Apple wants something, carriers have to say yes. That's what they're complaining. And the carriers are claiming that it's because it's hard for consumers to move from Android from iOS to Android,
as opposed to consumers just prefer the iPhone. Yeah.
Like once you go iPhone, you never go back. Right. Instead of that, it's just because it's too hard and so consumers don't bother. Now, there may actually be something to that. They may have their own internal research or their own internal feedback from consumers that says like
hate my iPhone, but I just can't leave.
Yeah. Or even I would consider an Android device, but I just, you know, it's just it'd just be way too hard. You know, I'm already invested in the Apple ecosystem. That's actually something we've heard, mm-hmm. right? You and I have heard that. How many, you know, if we had a nickel for every time that we heard that, we'd probably have several dollars.
We would.
And
we'd be having a drink at Starbucks right now.
We'd at least be covering the tip. And while I'm poking a little bit of fun by saying that, I mean, we do hear that a lot. I'm invested in the Apple ecosystem, some variation of that. You know, if you think about, if our listeners right now just think about their own usage, you know, thinking about like, even if they were unhappy with their iPhone or with their Mac or something, you know, how would they, you know, what's the first thing that you think about when it comes to moving? And you're probably thinking about how like, oh man, I've got all my stuff with Apple.
Yeah.
I don't want to move.
Yes, but on the other hand, if you've been using, say, a Windows computer for years, you don't want to move to a Mac, you'll be less likely to want to move to a Mac because you've invested all that time and money in.
Yeah, We used to hear that for Windows people back in the day, you know, back when Windows was a thing.
When Windows was a thing, yeah.
So, you know, but and Apple made a migration tool for that, too. Mm-hmm. So it actually does kind of seem like the carriers should be complaining to Google. It's like, you know, why don't you make a migration tool? Of course, maybe Google has tried and Apple has refused to let it on the App Store. That's possible.
All right. Well, then why don't you make the tool so it runs on a computer? You plug both devices in and it sucks it out of your iPhone through your computer and pumps it into your Google phone.
Yeah, Google could find a way to do that. Samsung could find a way to do that. It really should be Google, but there would be a way to do that. It may not be as elegant as Apple's solution, and it may not be as elegant as anything Apple could make. Right? Something
Apple's responsibility.
It is not Apple's responsibility. It is not. Actually, to quote myself from the article in a word, LOL. So anyway, that's what the Telegraph reported. Now, Recode did – Ina Fried did some her usual excellent reporting and got someone at Apple to actually comment, you know, which is something Apple does these days. No one was named, but according to Ina, someone – almost definitely someone in Apple's PR department, almost definitely – quote unquote, flat out denied the Telegraph report. And then another quote that again was not attributed, but is from someone with an Apple, There is no truth to this rumor. We are entirely focused on switching users from Android to iPhone, and that is going great. Now, here's where I will start playing mostly pedantic.
Okay.
The rumor is that Apple had agreed to this. Mm-hmm. Apple is denying having agreed to it by definition.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that there aren't discussions going on, and it doesn't mean that it's I don't know who the Telegraph talked to, but my assumption is that the Telegraph sources are from within the European Commission, 70%, and then maybe 30% that the Telegraph source was actually within the carriers.
Okay.
Right. And I have no doubt there is smoke behind, some fire behind the smoke, that there are talks going on between Apple and the EC about this, because the EC is a lot more aggressive about regulating the market and protecting consumers and, to a certain degree, protecting local businesses against the U.S. giants and particularly in keeping and protecting competition, the idea of competition. Mm-hmm. They're a lot more aggressive than U.S. regulators in the last 20 years. So, and we know that the European, you wrote a story some time ago about the EC looking into this in the first place.
Right. Yep, I remember that.
So I have no doubt that there is some fire behind the smoke, that there are probably talks, and that Apple could certainly be talking about voluntarily doing this, but they haven't agreed to do it yet.
This just seems so crazy to me that Apple is in a position where they need to make tools so that other companies can compete with them instead of the other companies simply making better products.
When they have a minority share in the market.
Right.
A tiny minority share in the market, like it's less than 20% in Europe. It's like, 17 or less percent. In some markets, it's actually even lower. So, yeah, it does actually seem crazy. But think about it this way. Now, we know that Apple dominates the high end of the market. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's where the money is. Mm-hmm. And we know that European companies are quite happy to go complaining to the European Commission. It doesn't always work for them, but we know that they're happy to do that. So with that in mind, the carriers can show that their money customers are using iOS. And if the carriers can show data, whether or not it's, whether completely disregarding its relative accuracy or other merits, if the carriers can show that customers don't want to leave iOS because it's too hard, and if carriers can show that they're having to give too much to Apple, I can see them getting a willing audience in the European Commission for hearing those complaints. I could totally see that happening.
But man, I still have a hard time wrapping my head around how this is okay. But I also get that I don't live in Europe. I live in the United States, and in many cases, there's a very different philosophy on how companies need to act in the marketplace.
Very, very different. I don't know. I can totally see this happening, and I can totally see Apple. If you think about it another way, this would be the least offensive way for Apple to actually just make this problem go away.
Still, it just really doesn't sit well with me at all.
Fair enough, and I get that. I totally get that. I wrote in a piece that I published, in a word, colon, LOL.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's a direct quote from your piece.
it's the idea that carriers are, well, okay. Carriers are officially cranky because they're saying customers don't want to leave because it's too hard. But to me, it's more like carriers are cranky because Apple's customers love its products more. And they hate the fact that affects their negotiations in any way. And that's the part that I'm LOLing.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I'm shaking my head.
But I bet there's fire behind this, man. I don't think that this, I mean, I know that Apple flat out denied the report, the rumor, but just, you know, we've seen Apple go semantics on this before.
Oh, sure. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're doing the same thing here.
Yeah, there's nothing about Apple's denial that actual that there's nothing about that denial that says we are not working on that tool and we won't make that tool. They're only saying that they're focused on keeping customers and that they have not agreed to anything. That's what Apple's denial is.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a very different thing than saying no, we're not making this tool.
Right. It could also mean that. This is one of those necessarily. Doesn't necessarily mean.
Right.
I'm just, you know, parsing, and you know that whatever the Apple PR person said was parsed over by a lawyer or two.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It wasn't just an off-the-cuff statement.
No. Absolutely not. Of course, you know, how would it look, right, to play devil's advocate against myself, how would it look for Apple if it releases tool 5 months from now?
Yeah, well.
And would Apple want to put itself in that position? You know, that's
no, I don't think they would.
That's the best argument against my, you know, trying to pick this apart.
Yeah. What my Jedi instincts are telling me is that at this moment, Apple is not working on any such tool. It does not preclude the possibility that they may, either through an agreement or through an order, create such a tool later. But I don't think they're doing anything right now.
What I would actually like for that tool to be out there and then for it not to be used.
That would be really funny.
That would be kind of funny. But, you know, it's like Apple Music. Well, so the Android to iOS conversion gets like 1-star ratings on Google Play because people, you know, Android fanboys.
Yeah, they went and ranked it low just because they don't like Apple.
And they're doing the same thing to Apple Music.
Right, of Android. Course.
And there's no doubt that Apple partisans would do the same thing if Google did a migration tool that was on the App Store.
Well, the apps that Google does have on the App Store, they don't have bad reviews, do they?
No.
But they're not migration tools.
Not generally. They're not a migration. They're not a migration tool. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, with the Google apps, excuse me, with the conversion tool to go from Android to iOS.
Mm-hmm.
This shows how little I know currently about the Google App Store.
Mm-hmm.
Can you rate apps that you haven't downloaded?
Yes.
Okay.
No, wait. I don't know. I have no idea.
All right. Well,
I have no idea, but I would counter with that doesn't matter because all a fanboy would have to do is download the app and then rate it poorly. They don't have to use
that's
it.
True.
Yeah, which is what I would point. Do. What if I was, you know, if I was going to be
if you were that kind of a person.
Yeah. Once upon a time, I might have been that kind of person.
Well, you're not now.
I'm not now.
I'm glad to know the current you.
Aw, thanks. What's our time?
We are at 39 minutes.
39 minutes. Well, it seems like a perfect time to segue into a new topic.
Okay. How about something that you might be able to get a little ranty about?
All right. Tim Cook, worst CEO of Apple or worser? CEO of Apple of all time. Discuss the channel, Mike Myers.
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. If you're talking to the rational, insane world, he's a darn fine CEO. But if you go to Trip Chowdery Land, then he's a hot mess that just needs to hit the road.
Yeah, you know, I honestly feel bad about this, but I always want to call him Trip Chowderhead.
Well, John Gruber that refers to his comments as claim chowdery, something like that.
Could be. I don't know. Whatevs.
My point is, you wouldn't be the first person to do a play on words with his name in a less than complimentary fashion.
Right, and it's really childish and immature, and so.
So let's do t-shirts with that.
But there's so much fertile ground here that doesn't involve making fun of his name. Anyway, Trip Chowdhury, an analyst with Global Equities Research. You might remember him from such Apple death knells as death knell number 64, when he said that Apple must deliver an iWatch in 60 days or disappear.
And they didn't.
Yeah, so actually that full quote, we'll just go ahead and start there. Quote, they, meaning Apple, only has 60 days left to either come up with something or they will disappear. It will take years for Apple's $130 billion in cash to vanish, but it will become an irrelevant company. It will become a zombie if they don't come up with an iWatch. Now, we're calling it an iWatch because this, of course, was far more than 60 days before Apple introduced the Apple Watch.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know what. All right, so let's actually look at what he said this week. He said that this week he called Tim Cook completely clueless. That's a quote. And said that Apple now has a culture of bozos. He's trying to see what he did there.
Yes, I see what he did there.
He's trying to. He's invoking.
He's trumping is what he's doing.
He's draping himself in the mantle of Steve Jobs.
Yes.
You know, because he's entitled to do so. Or something. Or something. So Tim, he said that under Tim Cook, Apple has destroyed $486 billion in shareholder value under Cook's management. Mm-hmm. And he said that Apple's PE under Steve Jobs was always above the S&P 500, that it's now well below it. And he said, quote, the once pristine Apple balance sheet, unquote, has basically been sullied with Tim Cook's...
With the loans that they've done.
Yeah, with the debt that Apple has taken on to return money to shareholders. And he called Apple's board of directors, quote unquote, callous in their concern about the company's PE multiple. Because, you know, that's what matters. It's the PE. That's the only important thing.
Right. And of course, you mean physical education.
A price to earnings ratio. Similar.
I've heard it both ways.
So his solution, I'm shaking my head. I'm sure you can see me through the glass, but his solution is that Ruby come back. Jonathan Rubinstein.
So Jonathan Rubinstein comes back to run Apple.
Yeah, a little coughing fit on my part. I'm going to cough some more.
Okay. And to go along with Jonathan Rubinstein, he thinks that that Apple needs to do some other changes too. So Tim could go back to being COO.
Yep, operations.
Yep, so he'd be in charge of operations. That's mighty wide a trip. He thinks Angela Arendt should be out the door.
Really? That's what he thinks?
Yeah, he doesn't think she's a good fit. He thinks she should be gone.
Okay, I may have some interns walking in.
Oh, neat. And so while the interns come in, I'll also point out he thinks it's time for Fred Anderson to come back and take over as CFO. So, you know, what could possibly go wrong with any of these scenarios, especially when Tim has a company that seems to be running pretty well?
Yeah. So, I mean, Luca Maestri going back to his accountant role. Oh, he wants Fred Anderson to come back.
Yes, you missed me saying that because you were having to deal with the interns, I believe.
I was having to deal with the interns, and I was also coughing, and I'm sorry about that.
Now you're just giving me validation on Fred Anderson. So thank you for backing me up.
Angela is completely clueless also, and a misfit for a role at Apple. Man, he's just so freaking wrong.
Yeah, but you know, in his defense, Brian, he's really consistent, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, like what did he say in December about how awful Apple was?
In December, he said that Apple was going to kick butt in 2016. But to be fair, that was a whole month ago.
All right. Yeah, that's true. That was a whole month ago. So I guess he's still consistent with his feelings about Apple.
Okay. So when I was prepping this, I had a realization about Apple and about Apple's price to earnings multiplier.
Okay.
First of all, there are a lot of things. All right. So here's the deal with the price to earnings multiple. Uh-huh. It's very, very complex. And the bigger Apple gets, the harder it is for Apple's multiplier to actually be maintained.
Okay.
And that's because there's only so much money. All the money in the world can't be with Apple because all the money in the world is not with Apple. Right?
Yes. Yes.
And there is a limit to how much Apple can grow. This actually turns out that's a fact.
Yeah, this makes sense because we don't have infinite resources and infinite money. Therefore, Apple cannot grow indefinitely.
And infinite people.
Right, and infinite people.
And you know, an infinite high end of the market. Right? So there are limits to how much Apple can grow, but there's an even more important thing. Mm-hmm. With Steve Jobs, people had faith in Apple's ability to innovate and come up with the next big thing without proof of that, without information to that effect.
That's true.
Under Tim Cook, people do not have that faith because to a certain extent, Tim Cook has yet to prove it. You know, most of Apple's improvements have been most of Apple's innovations have been iterative improvements on existing products. The biggest new product that's come out is the Apple Watch. And the Apple Watch the Apple Watch is in no way occupies the same space in the world's mindset as the iPhone does.
No, it doesn't. And I think part of the problem is that people had this unrealistic expectation for Apple Watch's performance, and they were thinking that Apple would put this product on the market and it would immediately become as big a seller as the iPhone is.
I would argue that a big part of it is that lack of killer functionality. There's nothing about the Apple Watch that we didn't know we needed to have. I know we talked about that before.
True.
I think that's the biggest aspect of it. I mean, the reality is that in terms of market share, Apple is doing way better than the iPhone. Right? I mean, you know, Apple outsells all the other smartwatches on the planet by
orders of magnitude.
Many orders of magnitude. But that market itself isn't all that big. But if it were any other company than Apple, the Apple Watch would be this huge, massive, multi-billion-dollar success.
Right.
As it is, it's, you know, still a few multi-billions.
Yeah, you know. It's only the dominating player in the smartwatch market.
Right.
You know, it's only sold more than all of the other smartwatch makers combined for all of the stuff they've ever sold.
But it's not a must-have device for everybody, like a smartphone is today.
Right. It is an accessory for the iPhone. That's it.
And so, you know, we've talked before about the church of the church of Apple hating, mm-hmm. and having and having faith that Apple will fail. And I think that Tripp is succumbing to a certain aspect of he's coming under the influence of that church, and he's got this faith that Apple will fail despite
evidence to the contrary.
Right. Well, despite the lack of evidence. Evidence to the contrary would actually be, well, I don't know. I guess you could say that Apple is doing well. But here's the thing. I don't ever want to point at Apple's balance sheet as the proof of Apple's ability to innovate. Remember that Microsoft made more money under Steve Ballmer than ever before.
True. And we really didn't see striking innovation from the company.
Well, and more particularly, the company's ability to innovate, such as it was crippled.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So, I mean, and Steve drove the company to the point where it couldn't adapt to the smartphone revolution that it tried to ignite in the first place. Right. And, and it got its corporate rear end handed to it.
Yes, it most certainly did.
And that was all because of the way that Steve maximized profits. But Tim Cook hasn't been trying to maximize profits. Tim Cook is not going down that same path that Steve Ballmer did. And the company is clearly innovating. The company clearly has things coming. The Apple car, we almost made this one of our topics. Elon Musk called this week, he called the Apple car an open secret in Silicon Valley. And it is. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
I started to go down that rabbit hole, but we don't need to. We know that Apple is, of course, Apple ended up doing the Apple Watch. And we know that Apple has had big ambitions in the TV space, ambitions that have been stymied in part by the networks and studios, mm-hmm. which may be taken care of by a Time Warner entertainment purchase. Mm-hmm. And I know that Apple is working on things that have never been rumored. Right. And I know this because of things that I've been told. I can't prove them. And I can't
talk about them yet.
I don't even know what they are.
Hence, you can't talk about them yet.
I can't talk about them yet. But I've been told by sources that I trust that there are things that no one has ever heard about.
Which to me is really exciting. I love the idea that Apple is innovating on a level where they can be experimenting with products that we currently can't even imagine.
And that's always been the case since Steve Jobs came back. But when Steve Jobs was here, people had faith it would happen because of his track record. And with Tim Cook, some people don't have that faith. Now, I actually have that faith. Right? Well, of course, I have some information, so it's not entirely faith-based. Right? But I know that Apple is going to be coming out with new products. I don't know.
That's just a given.
To me, it's a given, and it's more than a given because I know about products that exist that no one has ever heard of, that there haven't been any rumors, and that's because their development has been in house only. Right? We don't start hearing about things that Apple's doing until they start going to the supply chain, or unless Apple tells us in a controlled leak.
Right, which they do.
Sometimes they do, yeah. But I know that more stuff is coming. Some people don't have that faith, and so they like to project whatever kind of idiotic predictions and projections that they have. And quite frankly, a lot of Tripp Chowdhury's projections are idiotic. They're just stupid. The iWatch thing is a prime example of it. It was a stupid thing to say. It was utterly stupid, and I'm sure it got CNBC some eyeballs.
Of course it did.
But it was utterly stupid. It was a childishly stupid thing to say. And yet he said it. And now he's saying that Tim Cook is completely clueless and, the board is callous. And he's just wrong.
He thought Apple was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. And it's really interesting when people start looking at Apple and they start making conclusions. There was someone else, another death knell that I did. I don't have it in front of me. There was another death knell I did where someone else was we've actually seen this lots of times when people start saying with utter certainty that Apple clearly has nothing coming because they don't know about it. And that's stupid. It's stupid.
Crazy to say.
It is completely divorced from reality, and it's incredibly shallow thinking.
And also very arrogant. I mean, to assume that Apple is not working on something because you personally don't know about it, that's pretty arrogant to think that you're the person that Apple's going to be leaking all of this information to.
Or to think that, well, because I can't envision it, it doesn't exist.
Right.
I was playing peekaboo with my friend's toddler this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Like,
as one does.
Yeah, I can't see you. And I guess we were playing peekaboo with the Westgate sign.
Oh,
last week.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. And it's like, oh, where'd he go? He's gone. Oh, there he is. I mean,
that,
you know,
that was a really fun drive.
It was. So to say that Apple is callous, that Apple's board is callous about Apple's PE, and you can only make that and to say that Tim Cook is clueless, you can only make these claims if you think that you know everything that's going on. And no one outside Apple knows that. And it's just ridiculous. And another thing, the last thing Steve Jobs cared about was stock price. What did he always preach? He always preached that if we believe that if we take care of making good products that the rest of if we make the best product that we can, the stock will take care of itself.
Yep. And so far that seems to be holding true. Yes, there's been weird market stuff that's happened, but Apple is still a really strong company, and their stock looks like a good investment. I say that as someone that has no training at all in the stock market.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm okay with Tim running the company, and I think Tripp is wrong.
Yeah, I think Tripp is wrong, and I think that we have seen all kinds of signs. Yeah, Apple has done a lot of very interesting innovation. It's been iterative improvements on existing products, but those iterative improvements have been excellent. Every time I use my iPhone 6S, I think to myself, how much cooler and faster and better it is than the iPhone 6, that ancient year-old device.
Right. And that ancient year-old device is still really good. So the iPhone 6S has to be significantly better for us to be wowed in the way that we are. So
yeah.
Go Apple.
Yeah. So Tripp is wrong. He's like, I used to call Rob Enderle Rob wrong again Enderle. I'm going to like Tripp still wrong Chowdhury. That's much better than making fun of his name. Because that's just immature. That's inappropriate.
Okay. So Tripp still wrong Chowdhury.
Yes. Still wrong.
Yeah. Hey, you don't have a clock, so you don't know that we're pretty much out of time.
Yes, this is true. I also let my Mac. I tell you, I like podcasting from my desk better.
I understand. It's just more comfortable and more familiar.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I got all my stuff.
Yeah, you have all your stuff, but you know what is familiar?
What?
The music that's about to play.
Oh.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Also, we have Context Machine on Twitter. And hey, thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's @ContextMachine on the Twitters.
Yes.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. I'm Sick, the bass is by Boom, and that was recorded just for TMO.
And hey, stay subscribed. And Brian, get better.
Thanks. We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
I've got a great idea for a movie.